Good evening. Welcome to the service this evening. For the first song, let's turn to song number 101 in the Christian hymnal. Song number 101. For the next song, song number 104.
Shape of it.
Okay, for the next song, song number 93 in the church hymnal. Song number 93. Okay, thank you. We'll look to Brother James for our devotions.
Good to see so many of you here again this evening. A blessing to be here. I'd like to say a few words about singing this evening for a devotional and also include a song as part of a teaching exercise. Thinking of church protocol, what do you do when you come into church? I think there are various degrees that we see. Some people bow their heads, have a prayer, some open the Bible. And maybe there are at least some that reach for a hymnal. I would like to suggest to you that that might be a good thing to consider. It's a little bit difficult maybe to choose a song while another song is being sung. So if you haven't already been thinking for half the week about a song you'd like to sing, reach in front of you and pick up one of those hymnals. And if you don't want to do anything else, you might be blessed in reading some of the songs, especially ones that we may not know as well. It would actually be an encouraging sign, I would say, in a church, is as the song leader heads up to lead the singing, that he would see that pretty well everyone already has a songbook, just maybe even open, ready to give a number as soon as you get a chance. No, I don't think there's that way as much now as it was maybe in the past. At one time, I've heard someone say, of somebody saying that, if they want to get a, they can't even give a song when the Overholts are there because they're so quick to give one, evidently. So maybe there's, but if you're ready, and I think it's a good sign when lots of people have a song they would like to sing. Now, just a few thoughts. We like to sing familiar songs, and that are probably different reasons for them. I think songs are a little bit like friends. We should never discard old friends just because we've made some new ones. And I think it's that way with songs. And so we often have a preference for singing the songs we already know, and particularly maybe the ones that we know well. The question then is, so when are we going to learn any new ones? So there's a certain amount of discomfort and not quite as relaxed if a newer song is sung occasionally, but I think it's good to widen those borders. This morning was interesting to realize that maybe there's some in this congregation that didn't recognize that song, Seeking for Me, which we've sung ever since we were back in that other church over there, but we haven't sung it for a while. So it's good to renew old friendships, isn't it? And we already had I had a request that maybe we'd sing that song again just to nail it down good this evening, so maybe we will if we get a chance. New songs are harder work. Now here's a question. Can you worship while you're learning a newer song? I think singing and, singing is a part of a worship service, and there are various things that happen in a worship service. One of the ones that we often routinely expect is a message. Now, I think there are times when ministers have maybe expressed it that a certain message is not as easy to give. And usually if it's not as easy to give, it's not as easy to listen to either. Now the question might be there, so with that type of a sermon, can a person worship? I think the two have a certain relation to each other, and I would like to say in the affirmative that I think we can, that even as we are struggling to learn a new song, it's part of the process. Our heart is disposed to learn and to worship. And learning and worship are closely related. So I think we need to bear one with that and to realize the value of singing ones that we don't know as well, and never discontinue to singing the ones that we do. A couple of years ago, I was at a somewhat of a reunion of our home community in Hartville, Ohio, where we had kind of a men's music thing. And as we were there singing some of the songs that were from yesteryear, a number of the ladies were there listening, wives and whatever. And one of them, I think, said, "Well, nobody sings these songs anymore." My question would be, why don't we? What's wrong with them? There's nothing wrong with them. They're good songs. So it's good to keep the old songs. It's good to learn the new songs. One interesting story I think is interesting to me is about my wife, Emma. When she was a young girl, her father was not strong in having a lot of fences, and as such, the girls got to be cowgirls, but they weren't mounted. They were on foot. But their job was to keep them out of alfalfa fields and maybe the neighbor's corn fields and all that. Books were not overly plentiful in their homes, so she would actually take the church hymnal with her out into the fields and actually memorize a number of the songs just being out there. Now, just to show you some interesting differences of personalities, she and Ada May were often there together. Ada May was quite worried about the cows, wanted to keep them in a tight little group. Emma was more relaxed and not worried as much and maybe enjoyed singing and dreaming and all those things. While she was in that particular stage of her life, she looked at this song, Hark the Sound, the Song of Jubilee, that we've sung a few times recently. And she would look at that song, but she didn't know it. But she wished she did. And so one of our CDs that she often has playing from the Altar of Praise Chorale, they sing that song. So that's when she got interested and wondered, maybe we could sing it in church. And so you may have noticed that she's given it out a couple of times and we've sung it. It's a newer song. It's a great song. It's one to keep alive. So I thought you might enjoy that story just like I have. One other word about thing about songs. Songs are a little bit like a marriage. A song usually involves at least two things, words and music. Both of those entities can stand on their own. Words by themselves are very valuable. Music by itself can be very valuable. In fact, there's just one occasion like this in the scripture that I know of, but just recently I had read it again. And there was a time in the Old Testament, in the time of Elisha, where three kings were together, Israel, Judah, and one other king, the king of Edom. They were all, the three of them together, and then Jehoshaphat said, well, isn't there someone that can give us a word from the Lord? And so they got Elisha. And at that time, Elisha said, well, he told the other kings there, if it wouldn't be for that he has some respect for Jehoshaphat, he said, I would neither see you or hear you. But since he's here, he said, bring me a minstrel that will play for me. And I'm going to read this for you now. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And then he gave them that advice about building ditches that can fill with water. And the other opposing team soon thought that it was maybe blood, I guess. So, words and music both stand alone, but together, just as two individuals stand alone. But in marriage, they can even do more than one alone many times. And that's how it is in singing. So, I would encourage you just to make use of these hymnals in front of you, and there's some interesting history there. I'd like to share, we don't have anyone slated to give a history of a song. I'd like to give you a little bit of a history behind a song and one that we have sung many times. This song is titled, We Now Have Met to Worship Thee. I'm sure you remember that, most of you that live here, because it's been sung numerous times. It's number 188 in the church hymnal and number 54, I think, in the Christian hymnal. And there's some interesting things I'd like to show you with that a little bit, and then we want to sing that song as our closing part of this devotions. Right here, if you look at number 188 in the church hymnal, and number 54 in the Christian hymnal, shows here the song was evidently written in 1889. Back in the bibliography in the front of this, here on page 54, song number 54, it indicates that Joseph S. Shoemaker lived from 1854 to 1936. Evidently, he would have written this song about in 1889 when he was about 35 years of age. This Joseph Shoemaker, I found out by simply a little bit of trivia information in the back there, was a Mennonite bishop from Freeport, Illinois. I don't know where Freeport, Illinois is, but I know where Illinois is at least. And as I thought about this person, being born in 1854, he lived through the Civil War. He would have been a young boy. By the time he died in 1936, now in the church hymnal in the back, it just says 1854 and a dash. The reason they don't have the other date is because he hadn't died yet. And he lived till after this psalm book was printed, and he has two songs included in this book. Joseph S. Shoemaker. So he was this, he lived through those times in his life. And by dying in 1936, he would have gotten to experience quite a bit of the Great Depression, as well as the buildup in general for another Second World War, having also lived through the First World War. So this person seems like an interesting man to me, and as I look at the words that he writes here, it sounds like words that are fitting for a bishop to write. He says, "We now have met to worship thee and glorify thy name, dear Lord. Help everyone attentive be and heed the teaching of thy word. Assist thy servant to proclaim the gospel message plain and pure, that all who hear accept the same and make in thee salvation sure." In the back of your book, quite a bit further, is the other song that this particular individual has written, and it's a song of invitation. I'm not sure how many of you know it. Let's see. I can't even think of it right now. It's a song of invitation, and it's about wanderer come home, but not the one that Kaufman would have written. Anyhow, you might want to look that one up sometime. It's also a very interesting song, a beautiful song. This particular song, then, you might notice that the climax of each verse seems to occur in a second score. Fill every heart with love divine. Teach every tongue, what? Thy praise to sing. And, you know, praise and singing are closely related. And I realize that not everyone is fanatical about music. Now, I think there were times that people probably thought that I was, particularly in my youth, and I didn't always know when to stop or when to be quiet. And just because I like to sing, I may have thought that everybody else does too. So, but I don't like to hear someone say that they don't like to sing. For one reason, is because there's such a blessing in it. And secondly, it is so closely related to praise. And we had some thought in our lesson about that this morning, in our Sunday school lesson in Isaiah. So, let's sing this song now. We now have met to worship thee. And then we'll have a prayer after that. And continue after this song. And we'll have all the children and the prayer. And then we'll have all the children come. And Jessica Yoder will come and lead them in some numbers. Okay?
Oh, we now have met to worship thee and glorify thy name, dear Lord. Help everyone attentive be and heed the teaching of thy word.
Okay, sing.
Fill every heart
Thank you, Lord, for this good evening, and we can come together again this evening to sing and praise your name, your great person. Lord, give us a song to take with us for the week to come. We don't know what's waiting there for us. We just pray that you would be glorified in our lives and that we could glorify you. We just thank you for Jesus coming to this earth and giving his life for us and to bring the marvelous plan of salvation into effect. We just pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right, all the children want to come up and just line up right in front of the pulpit here, and Sister Jessica will take care of it.
Okay, thank you, Jessica and children, for that. For the next song, let's turn to song number 92 in the Christian hymnal. And I'll take one selection after this. And Matt, will you be ready to come up after that? And Matt has a song group after these two songs. Song number 92.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Let heaven and nature sing.
Somebody have a selection?
102.
Song number 102.
Say
Thank you very much for sharing those numbers. Let's turn to number 31 now, the Christian hymnal, and we'll sing that song again that we sang this morning. And after this, I think we'll have another group by Drake and his friends, whoever that all involves. Seeking for me. Maybe you need a change of position. If you want to, we could all stand, those that are able to.
Dying for me. Well, good evening. It's good to be up here again. We'll be singing two songs this evening. Our first song is Tiny Little Hands, and our second song is O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem.
Shadows dim, giving a light for those who long had gone adore, and guiding the wise men on their way into the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine, oh shine,
oh beautiful star,
beautiful, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory. Give us thy light to light the way into the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, of dawn. And into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Beautiful, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory, glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good. Yonder in glory when the crown is won, for Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on.
Oh, beautiful,
beautiful, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory, glory. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on.
Thank you, Drake, and the rest of you for that. Especially like that first song, and what a good message to that song. His hands is outstretched for us. For the last song, let's turn to song number 95 in their church hymnal. Did we already sing this song? Did Matt Scripp sing it? Okay, and after this, we'll have the chorus come up.
Mercy, mild, God and
those afterwards. On the first page, third verse, unison, sweet music, Lord.
Shining in tears.
I
Today.